This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, I wanted a retractable roof, and they told me that's not going to happen. I wanted a field on a tray, and they said that's not going to happen. And I wanted 80,000 seats, and they said that's not going to happen. So my big three, I'm 0 for 3.
That is George McCaskey. Conveniently enough, at the owners' meetings, which have been going on this week, in Florida. I'm Mark Grody here with you until 9 o'clock at the Score. Text lines are open. 312-644-6767 is the number. And there is so much to talk about as it pertains to the Bears, including what George McCaskey is saying about the future of the team, what he is saying about what future stadium they may or may not play in. And one of the people that has been doing a great job covering those owners' meetings is our guy Scott Bear. He is the Bears insider for the Marquee Sports Network. You can find his work right now if you'd like on Twitter at Scott Bear. That is B-A-I-R. Scott Bear NFL is the way to follow him and to read his stuff on Twitter if you would like. And he is joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And Scott, I understand you like just got back from Florida, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was a long trip, but it was a productive one, and I want to give a slow clap to whoever chose that intro quote. That was absolutely hilarious when the Bears chairman said, here's what I want, and I can't have any of it. Absolutely tremendous stuff, but it was pretty revealing today. We had the opportunity to speak to Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles on Tuesday, and then, of course, Kevin Warren and George McCaskey at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida on Wednesday. And it was very clear that they had a mission. The mission was, hey, y'all, Arlington Heights is in serious play for the Bears' new stadium.
And does it come across as sincere, or is this their last-ditch effort to entice the state, I guess it would be in this case?
You know what's so interesting, Mark, is I was just thinking about that because I've been traveling all over, holy heck, and finally got home and wrote the stadium story that I wish I could have written 4 hours ago, and I was kind of waiting for this radio hit, and my mind started wandering, and I'm like, okay, one, the Arlington Heights site is what they call pad ready, which means that it can accommodate new construction quickly, and they can fulfill Kevin Warren's longstanding even if it's eyebrow-raising promise that the Bears are going to have shovels in the ground in this calendar year to start stadium construction. It's a lot easier in Arlington Heights. They have some tax certainty. They have some benefits out there. They already own 326 acres of land, and they extolled that land's virtues a number of times on Wednesday. But you and I share a same mindset of skepticism, to which it does operate as a bit of a leverage tool, right? Now, and I don't really know how that works. And apparently the Illinois governor, at least according to my Twitter feed, came out and said, the Bears, I'm paraphrasing now, we would prefer the Bears stay in Chicago. So there's a lot at play here. And I think it's something that we'll have to continue to dig into, continue to tinker with about how serious they are about Arlington Heights. I think they're pretty serious because I think it's the path of least resistance after having a bunch of resistance everywhere else. But we'll have to see how it plays out. I still think deep down there's a connection between the Chicago lakefront and the Bears.
Yeah, I think there is.
And well, I think they're fighting for that.
I agree with you because everything about Arlington Heights, it does seem, it's so logical. It really is, right? You've got the land. It's ready to go. You can figure out the traffic there. It would work, and it would be, you could put up a whole village of Bearsness. But part of the reason why I too am like you, thinking about that connection to the city, Kevin Warren, I mean, I believe him that he wants it to be in the city. You know what I mean? Like, he glows when he talks about it. He has put a lot into the idea of it being there, including the presentation that he put together last year that was just immaculate and amazing. I can't imagine that he is – I mean, I guess there comes a point where you have to back off, but I'm not ready to unhear the things that I know I heard from Kevin Warren.
Yeah, the one thing that he said to a group of Bears beat reporters earlier today was, and I think this part is absolutely, I mean, I think this part is absolutely true. He said, you have to learn to be flexible. You have to understand when you're hitting a brick wall and to stop ramming your head into it, right?
Yeah,
So Arlington, right. So, and I think that that flexibility and the understanding that you're going to have to pivot. Politics are difficult. You have new administrations. You have new taxes. You have new tariffs, shall we say, that all kind of stack up into these types of operations. And he was successfully built U.S. Bank Stadium. And I know they're an NFC North rival, but the Vikings Stadium is awesome. And Kevin Warren's fingerprints are all over that. And Bears fans should be excited about the fact that this guy's done it before. So I think that this is all part of the process. It's just a long, painstaking process. And real quick, some background on me. I covered the San Diego Chargers before they moved to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I covered the Oakland Raiders before they moved to Las Vegas. I know all about stadium construction, leverage, and politics, and investments, as well as anyone on this planet, okay?
I've
been to the puppet show, and I've seen the strings, okay? So that's why when you asked the first question, it made a lot of sense to me. And I feel like it's fair to say that they are both that they are focused on Arlington Heights as an option, but that it can also be a leverage ploy to try to get Chicago to give some sort of concessions. This is a group that is not asking for a bunch of public financing to build the stadium. It's asking for public financing for infrastructure, which is frankly not that uncommon in any stadium construction across the country.
Mm.
That's not rare. That is pretty typical. But I do think, Mark, it can be two things at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And by the way, I will save like 30 seconds at the end to talk about the mighty Sacramento A's. Stand by for that. What does George want in all of this? Do you think that he is like in lockstep with Kevin Warren? Like, does he want it in downtown, or do you think that because they bought the property that their mindset was already good with it being Arlington Heights?
I think that George, and I talked to him for a bit one-on-one after the press conference session, and I kind of dug a little bit deeper into the concept of legacy, right? Because now that his mother has passed, he's the one to kind of shepherd the Bears into the next phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he credited his mother with giving him and the family a playbook for what to do next. So he's still operating on that. But this is also his part. And a stadium is a major part of that. Obviously, wins and losses, we all know how Bears fans feel about that. They have to do better there. But this stadium is also part of that legacy. And it's something that's coming up when it's his time in the chair. And I think that that's really important to him. Now, obviously, he was coached a lot, and he kept telling me about, well, this is good for the state of Illinois, and this is good for Chicago, and this is good for Cook County, and all these other types of things. It's also good for legacy.
Yeah,
and I think that I think that means something to him. It means something to his family. This guy grew up understanding the importance and the value and the connection of the Bears and this region.
Yeah.
So I think that he understands that. That's why I think Chicago is still in play. This history thing is so important, right?
Yeah.
But Arlington Heights is the path of least resistance. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Well, let's stay on the – you used a great word for George McCaskey, legacy, and you brought up the succession plan as well. And I know that George did get a little bit emotional discussing it, but if you can, for all of us, give us the what does it feel like in terms of the Chicago Bears and the future of the Chicago Bears being owned by the McCaskies?
Yeah, I'm relatively new to this market, so all the institutional knowledge that people have from living and experiencing this for the last decades, I don't really have that. I'm coming in new, so my perspective was, we had a real human moment today, the 10 people that were in the room, because George is his first public comment since his mother's passing. He talked about legacy. He talked about the Bears remaining in the family for another 100 years, right? Mm-hmm. And you could feel that. Like, it was something that he's been raised with, the connection to the Bears and George Halas and the city of Chicago.
Right.
That's an unbreakable bond. It doesn't take more than 12 months for me to understand that.
I think
that it's really important to him that they keep it within the family. And I asked George after the presser, I said, what was part of the playbook that your mom gave you? And the first thing he said was, don't sell. That was the first thing out of his mouth.
Wow.
So that's why it's important. Now, when you look at it, fans who have seen how many head coaches and how many highly drafted quarterbacks that haven't worked out under the George McCaskey tenure as chairman, and they want more W's than L's, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's their focus. So that news was met, and my social media feed was filled with skepticism and snarkiness. And
I no.
get it. And I get it. Your social media feed is often filled with the same stuff, I know, because we talked about it in Lake Forest. But I can understand, but I want fans to kind of revert to be human for a second and understand where he's coming from and why he wants better. And he's a guy who passionately believes that he needs to uphold the Bears tradition. And he hasn't done it well to this point. I think there's a level of optimism from the football side that it can get turned around. And if under his watch, they can build a stadium somewhere and get this thing back on track by him hiring the right people, which is Warren, Poles, and Johnson is the new iteration of whatever it was before, right?
Yeah.
Pace and Nagy or Fox or whoever else and Ted. And now it's a different group. There's optimism. There's no evidence. But if he can get all that done, I feel like he should feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, hey, George McCaskey, he's on a little win streak lately. You know, he did do what everybody wanted him to or allow to have happen, and that was to fire a head coach in season. Check. He was the top of the chain that hired Ben Johnson. So I would say that George is on a winning streak as it stands right now, and hopefully that continues. And we have to remember that things have been really good for the Bears as of late in terms of what they have done. I do want to ask you, I want to take you back to the first day, Scott, and that's when Ben Johnson spoke. What did you make of Ben Johnson so far? I guess, you know, from what you've heard here and combined with what we've all heard Ben Johnson saying, what he's going to do with Caleb Williams. And I know he was asked about undoing bad habits. What are you looking forward to as far as Ben Johnson and what he will do with Caleb Williams?
Yeah, the quote that you just referenced, where he's not going to undo things, but he's going to try some things and some philosophical concepts that he knows works. Right? That's under center play action. It involves a little bit of more delay, a little bit more uncertainty from the linebackers and the safety, and it freezes everybody. And the Lions use a lot of play action, like under center, I think most in the league. It worked out pretty well for them. And I think that there are concepts that Ben Johnson knows are true and knows that can produce. And he wants Caleb Williams to try those out over the course of what is going to be an agonizingly difficult and trying offseason for a young quarterback. Mm. It's going to be hard, and I think that's fine. What comes after what you referenced is something that it was as impressive as anything I've heard from a new head coach in a while, was this is something that I know works. I want my quarterback to operate this way, .. But if he's really bad at it, we're not going to force him to do it, right? It's the flexibility of saying, okay, we know this works. There's evidence of it. If it doesn't, I'm going to go back in the lab with Eric Bieniemy and Press Taylor and Declan Doyle and the 1,000 people who have called offensive plays on my staff and Antoine Randall, and we're going to figure out a way to be productive in a way that makes our quarterback comfortable. And that, I think, is interesting.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is revelatory in – because, look, man, you know as well as I do, head coaching, even the bad ones are ego-driven and egomaniacal and think they're geniuses, right? Even the bad ones. Right. Even Matt Eberflus kind of thought he was a genius. Well, I don't think he was a very good coach, right? But ultimately, it's about the ability to pivot. Again, we just talked about the stadium. Why would you keep ramming your head into a brick wall if the Kool-Aid man can't jump through it, right? At some point, you got to understand where you are. And I think that that's what it is. But I do think he's going to push Caleb Williams technically. He's going to push Caleb Williams mentally. And he's going to push Caleb Williams physically over the course of this offseason. They've built that support system. They've got Drew Dahlman. They've got all these offensive coaches. They've got some smart guards. They still have good skill players. And I think they're going to add another skill player at 10, by the way, that those type of things are going to help him. But something that Drew Dahlman kept saying is, we're going to help him, but there are certain things that are exclusive to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams needs to nail the things that are exclusive to the quarterback.
All right, now you're going to have to sell off on the tease right there, man. I heard you. Skill player at number 10. What, Scott Bear, are you thinking about for number 10 in the draft? Enough of this Caleb Williams nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, and so this is where, again, our minds work in the same kind of RPM, right? Is that you take a concept and you see what they've done in free agency to this point and with trades, and I just think luxury pick. And I think of an offensive-minded coach who values explosive skill players. And I think, man, could he really use like a Sam Laporta version, Sam Laporta South? And I watched this Penn State kid, yeah, Tyler Warren, and he just looks explosive. And then I'll go ahead and shout out Adam Hoge from CHGO, who had a exclusive interview and brought up Tyler Warren. And Ben Johnson said, that guy's a football player, right? That guy is a nightmare to scheme against. And I start thinking, who uses more 12 personnel than like anybody on the planet? Ben Johnson. Why don't we go throw Cole Kmet and Tyler Warren and Roma Dunze and DJ Moore all in the same pattern and see what happens and motion the crap out of them and play action it and go, right?
Yeah.
Because they're essentially set up everywhere else, right, in terms of could they function with the starting 22 that you and I could name off the top of our head? Yeah, but if you add that explosive playmaker, right, that's what's interesting to me. I feel like you can get an offensive tackle in the second round and still be happy with it. If that's what you choose to do, you can get a pass rusher there. But would you rather have the third best tackle or the second best pass rusher or the best darn tight end available in college football today?
As you said, we are on the same page. Tyler Warren, Penn State, 104 catches last year, about 1,233 yards, 8 touchdowns. And then the beauty of Tyler Warren, Scott, is that he also can do other. He had 218 rushing yards. He could throw the ball. He's your classic move you tight end that, as you said, you can get creative with. And it does. There is evidence to suggest that Ben Johnson is a creative head coach.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, the Bears players were victimized. I will ask you one more question, though, about Caleb and what you were saying in regards to he's going to have to, like, this is going to be hard. Like you said, like, he's got to learn a different way, new playbook, all that kind of stuff. Do you think that Caleb Williams is ready for that? Because I don't know that he's ever had to really, really sit down and work hard at being a quarterback until maybe now.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. He worked under Lincoln Riley, and sometimes in college football, like, schematics win out. So it's like schematics plus scheme plus speed plus terrible college football coverage
exactly.
equals big numbers.
Right,
right,
right.
But and I will volunteer for those of your listenership that don't know, you're at every single press conference, right?
Right.
So I'm sure that you were there for the press conference that I'm going to bring up. It was something, I believe it was in week 18 before the Packers game, maybe a week before, but Caleb Williams talked a lot about, I think he was kind of referring to Waldron and Eberflus, right? But not everyone can coach me. Right.
Uh-huh.
That he's kind of a hard, he's not a hard personality.
No,
he needs to be coached a certain way. And I think ultimately Caleb's one of those alpha dudes who needs to respect you. Right. And if he doesn't, like, is it always going to get in there? Now, I'm not inside of Caleb Williams' head. I'm just referring. And I think, you know, which press conference that I'm talking about, right? That he needs to be coached by a certain personality.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Competitive, intense. Track record, has already earned respect and street cred by the way he goes about his business and his production with the Lions. So that's why I think this working relationship is really fascinating, because, I mean, scoreboard, the Rams were ready. They openly were like, someone take Jared Goff from us. And then he works with Ben Johnson for a couple years, and he's setting, like, he doesn't miss passes, right?
Right.
And it's because he found a way to do it. And my point is that I think because of the street cred, because of everything that we're talking about, and because Caleb Williams works hard, he really, really does. And I really think that he cares. I think he also knows that there's enough talent in his body and enough smarts in his brain to do whatever anyone asks of him on a football field.
Yeah.
He just hasn't done it yet. So why would I say that's something that he can't do? I honestly don't believe it. I know there's lots of talk, right? Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, they all made it. Drake Mays, like a mountain of a man who can throw the ball downfield.
Uh-huh.
I still think, and this is going to be my hot take for the day, Mark, I still think Caleb Williams can be the most productive quarterback long-term from that draft class of a bunch of good quarterbacks. I really do.
I agree with you on that, too, man. You and I are on the same page in a big way. I still think there's greatness ahead for Caleb Williams, but you said it right. The word this coach has credibility, so this quarterback, this player will say, even if he doesn't like the path he's going to have to take, he will say, oh, you can make me great. Show me how to do it. I'll do all the things that I got to do. I'll do all the studying, the reading, the coming early, the leaving late. So I do think that credibility factor is really just a huge part. Before we get you out of here, Scott, just a couple more things, like on the business side of things. Can we expect that any extensions coming up? Kyler Gordon's name has popped up. What have you heard in that regard? Should something be getting done soon?
Yeah, I don't know about timing. I've looked, some people are tape nerds. I'm like a salary cap nerd, to be honest with you. And so just looking at their cap, look, you can extend anybody with any amount of cap space, go ask the New Orleans Saints, right? So there are ways to maneuver it and get that cap number low in year one. I asked Ryan Poles about it. I've asked him twice in the last 6 weeks now about Kyler Gordon. And I do think the deal is going to get done. Is it going to be tomorrow? Probably not. Or it could be the summer. I think it would be a bad move to push it all the way around to the next year, because he ain't getting cheaper. I think knowing how Dennis Allen is going to use him, I've covered Dennis Allen, how Dennis Allen uses his slot cornerbacks. Another name to keep an eye on, this is just me talking here, but TJ Edwards, I think, is sort of in this realm of probably outplayed his contract, and he's a team captain and a pretty good dude and from the area. And I would put that in the realm as well. Jaquan Brisker is one that I think you and I would both agree, for as good of a player and as much of a game changer as he is, that you got to take that wait and see approach before we talk extension, just because of his injury history. It's no fault of his own, but it's just something that you have to keep your eye on. So in terms of guys that are eligible for contract extensions, that's it. And then of course Joe Tooney is on the last year of his contract. That could be another wait and see. He's in his, I mean, he's a two-time All-Pro, goodness gracious, but he's still in his early 30s, trying to find that right value. But that's where I see kind of the, if they were going to extend anybody, it's probably those four guys. That's kind of my take on those four.
Very interesting. All right, have ye anything to say about the Sacramento A's? They did lose to the Cubs today. 10-2 was the final score. I talked to somebody who was nobody in the know that is just very skeptical that they will actually end up in Las Vegas, that the money suddenly won't be there for the A's, and they'll just be this vagabond baseball team.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't say this in the Sacramento market, but I spent a lot of time in the Bay Area covering the Raiders. I had a cup of coffee on the A's in 2020, liked a lot of their players and things like that. The one thing that I would say is my recommendation for the A's: one, don't trust any future plans with those dudes, and two, I'm very free with my entertainment dollar, right? You know, it's MLS, NFL, Cubs games, you name it, right? I'm into it. You would have to pry a penny from my cold, dead hands before I ever gave it to an A's concessionaire, a jersey salesman, or a ticket salesman.
Oh, man.
Not a good organization. Oh. I'm glad the Cubs swept them. That's my partial observation for you there, Mark.
Scott, this has been dynamite, man. I got to tell you, for a guy who just got back from a crazy working trip about 40 minutes ago, you were dynamite, man. Scott, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's one cup of coffee and two Celsius. Like, that's what it'll do, too.
Hey, man.
All right, man. Hey.
We're all open to ideas to perk ourselves up.
Exactly. Now I just got to go to sleep. But anyway, Mark, thank you so much for the opportunity. Always appreciate catching up with you, man. And whenever you got the vine, I got the time.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That is Scott Bear, Bears Insider for Marquee. He was good, really good. You could follow him on Twitter. Do it now. Do it now. You can get more of that good stuff right there. At Scott Bear NFL. Now I got to spell it. It's Scott, common spelling, and then Bear, B. I've just botched this whole thing. Bear, B-A-I-R, Bear. No, it is Scott Bear, B-A-I-R-N-F-L, at Scott. Just Google him. You can find out all sorts of fun things if you want. But that was a great discussion, and man, we are in lockstep on a lot of things, and the one thing is, like, no matter what I've heard all along about Arlington Heights and the logic and the common sense that exists and the money and the taxes and all the good reasons why you would put it there, still think that there's downtown is not out of play. That's what I think. 312-644-6767. If you want to do a late night call, this would be a good time to do it. I will get back on the text machine. I shall refresh that. I'll see what's cooking there, and we'll hang out and we'll talk. I'm Mark Grody on the.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, Texter says if the Bears were going to Arlington Heights, there would have been a shovel in the ground a long time ago. This is such a leverage play. Don't fall for it. Not falling for it. And it would be a good leverage play. I mean, if that's what it is. I mean, you have to keep that possibility in mind. You're playing a dangerous game, Mr. Warren. Are you sure you want to go this direction? Because I know, like, I don't want people getting hit with taxes and having to spend more. I mean, I live in the city, okay? So, I mean, I understand all that, but I wish there was a way that the stadium could stay in Chicago. Absolutely. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of momentum right at the moment towards Arlington Heights. But as the texter said, as Scott and I were discussing, it's not inconceivable that this was just this was another card thrown by Mr. Warren and company. Tyler, do me a favor and bring me Tom in Downers Grove. Will you do that for me? Hey, Tom, you're on the score.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Hey.
Mark, I got a question. I know you're like the eyes and ears. You're at their facility a lot.
Uh-huh.
You're there. You talk to people. You got the personality to maybe talk to people behind the scenes, and you might sense maybe eyes, side eyes or whispering or whatever. Have you heard, and I keep hearing this expression, get Caleb comfortable with being uncomfortable. Do you think that there were some folks there that there was a maybe underlying vibe that maybe Caleb wasn't applying himself? Kind of like a couple 3 years ago, there was talk about a quarterback from another team, I can't recall, that had to get something in his contract or whatever, that he had to apply himself a certain number of hours, or maybe he wasn't.
Right, well, no, he could, that he couldn't play stop playing video games is what that was, but yeah.
So you're around there, you might sense things. Was there a vibe maybe Caleb didn't respect some of the people there, or maybe he was a little too big for his britches in some ways? So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Tom. No, I did not ever notice that. Like, I see Caleb Williams was a, from what I could see from the glimpse they give us, which is a few times a week at Halas Hall, usually for about 45 minutes or so. And Caleb it seems to be social with everybody in the locker room. So I personally have never noticed like any sort of vibes around Caleb that there's any kind of issues whatsoever. But there's also the part where you mentioned, I think the caller used the word applying oneself. I don't really think it's that. I don't think it's a matter of that. I mean, he applies himself It's what is being a professional quarterback? What does that look like? What does one have to go through to become that? Whether it's behind the scenes, on the practice field, in the locker room, it just sounds like that's the part that has not yet been perfected. So I don't think it's like this weird line of, is he just like frivolous and doesn't care? Like, none of that. None of that. Like, sometimes you mistake somebody who's got a big personality like Caleb does as somebody who is lax or whatever, but that is the opposite. So, and I don't know. I certainly don't know everything and the background and everything that goes on in that locker room, but I have never personally heard or seen any issues surrounding Caleb Williams. Hope that answered your question, Tom. The tush-push debate, as you may or may not know, it has been postponed. It has been PPD. They've decided that the Green Bay Packers proposal to ban the modified quarterback sneak that the Philadelphia Eagles do, it's the tush push, and they're going to wait until a later date to take care of it. Fine, whatever. This is neat. It's actually fun because it's like this play that has been ridiculously successful, mostly for the Philadelphia Eagles, that is just like, I got to admit, though, every time I see it or have seen it, I think to myself, how in the world is this allowed? It just seems, for lack of a better word, childish, playground. And I get it. To the letter of the law, it's all good. It's all cool. And I do understand that it all came to a head last year when there were three or four penalties called and the referee got all pissed off. It really became a hilarious story. But so I'm maybe because we haven't seen it like in a lot in these parts. I don't know. I guess keep it, but I do understand why people look at it like sort of side eye. Like, you can do that? Yeah. Yeah, you can
do
that.
The one who pushes the tush.
The one who pushes the tush. That is correct. I was going to read another text, but then it's got a bad word in it, and like, I can't read it without the bad word. So it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We will take our final break, come back, and we will wrap this puppy up on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Center field, going back, Lede. It's off the wall. Racing towards second.
Go, 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 go.
Here we go.
Go.
And he's in. Cycle! Take that, Mark Grace!
You're running like a river cat, and they want the ball. The dugout is going bonkers.
Oh, brother, that was awesome.
That's a cycle. Cycles are cool. Carson Kelly with a cycle for the Cubs on Monday night in Sacramento, part of a 18-3 win for the Cubs over the A's. Carson Kelly doing damage. I heard Craig Counsell talking about it and how he wasn't. Of course, Craig Counsell wasn't aware of it. You know, but the rest of the bench, when he hit the ball, when they knew his extra bases, the players in the dugout just apparently, per Craig Counsell, just went completely nutso. And what a great call by Boog, and especially in this case, Jim Deshaies, because that man, that's the player, that's the former. It was all about that cycle. It was all about that cycle for the 30-year-old Cubs catcher, Carson Kelly, who is expected to get a decent amount of turns behind the plate, with Miguel Amaya being the top dog right now. Still, I'd say, actually, Miguel Amaya's looked really good. He's looked very good at the plate so far this year, and definitely better as a receiver. All of that started to improve at the end of last year, so hopefully he keeps that going. But also good for Carson Kelly. I had not heard the JD call of that. That is great. But yeah, it was May 9th. I just found, I was looking through cycles here, and I came across Bleed Cubby Blue. And yeah, it was May 9th, 19. Like, talk about the Mark Grace, May 9th, 1993. We all remember Mark Grace. Grace versus San Diego, the Padre. Grace completed his cycle with a 3-run homer with two out in the bottom of the ninth inning. That pulled the Cubs to within one, but Ryan Sandberg lined out to short to end the game with a 5-4 Cubs defeat. Well, but it was a cycle. Shout out to Cubs Bleed Cubby Blue. That is where I was reading it. Cubbyblue.com. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to botch that. So Grace did it. Who else? I had this. I know Billy Williams did it, which makes complete sense from a... Sorry, I'm going into like grobber territory here right now. But April 22, 1980, a guy by the name of Ivan DeJesus did it versus St. Louis. Per CubbyBlue.com, the famous game ended with a walk-off grand slam by... Is this real? No, it is. A walk-off grand slam by Barry Foote. So DeJesus' cycle was kind of lost in the shuffle, as they write. That is great. That is... Wow, that's two that I just read that ended badly. But there was a cycle. That would suck for the guy who got the cycle. Like, but what about the cycle? You guys are all talking about this loss. You guys let me down. But now the cycles are pretty cool. So shout out to Carson Kelly. This series just happened fast. 18-3 in that Monday game. 10-2. The Cubs got the win today. Last night. We're up late watching the Cubs beat the A's by a final of 7-4. So that was nice to see. It was quite a little series, a trio of games. So now the Cubs are getting ready to come home, and that brings me to this. I'm trying to find it. There it is. This Friday, join Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi at Sluggers in Wrigleyville as they broadcast live 10 to 12:45 before the home opener. On the north side. That will be an absolute blast. Zach Zaman going to have the pregame show up until first pitch. It's all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to Tyler Buterbaugh for producing. Thank you to our guests that joined the show here tonight. Chuck Swirsky was on the program tonight. We had Chuck on. We had a great Bears segment with Scott Bear from Marquee Sports Network. You can always go back on the Odyssey app and check those out if you would like. And finally, if I might indulge you, on Thursday, April 17th, coming soon, Dan Weider and I will be doing a live Take the North show from 6 to 7 p.m. on 670 The Score. We'll be broadcasting live from our Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. If you'd like to be part of a live studio audience for that show, go to 670thescore.com/contest to enter for a chance to win your way in. And this is unprecedented. This will be a first, so I'd love to see you guys out there for Take the North Live. April 17th. Check it out. Come see us. I'm Mark Grody. I must leave you now. Have a great rest of your night. Cares.
Some people like Mark Grody.